Do we have any questions from the audience? Oh, great.
So, thank you for a very nice and informative presentation. You mentioned about the repository, but didn't mention about the thematic service, because it's a specific, yeah? Because we are working with thematic service. There are any differences or some kind of information regarding these services? And for instance, can we provide and apply to training about our services, and how can we do this one and so on? Okay, thank you.
Thank you for asking this. When it comes to thematic services and resources, one thing to have in mind is the local community. Because in terms of, the same way we had to deconstruct and reconstruct the language for example, legal aspects, it's also related to how you want to publicize and spread the word and make accessible. When I say accessible, in a sense of accessibility, like, what is suitable for certain audiences. So although whatever we did, what we could to do with some generic and common needs. On the other hand, when it comes to the norms of the community, the languages, additional channels that are not only, available through the current catalogs and collections and other aggregating or finding tools, you probably may need to target your audience in a specific way. For example, we were considering whether we could also produce, because in the case of Ripple, which is a policy generator, you can define any kind of template within it with different forms and rules and dependencies between data items, and then generate the final text in line with what has been entered. For example, we considered whether we can define such a template for terms of use of a service. And we again went in the forest and looked at the different types of services, what they described, and eventually found out that it is not possible to provide something that is one size fits all, because simply the language is different, the level of detail is different, so and many other things, what is assumed, what is the norm, what is implied, what is explicitly said differs. And therefore, it's the best, what I could say is, look at at the good examples of something similar try to adapt them, but not following them blindly. Perhaps, there is something that you don't like or something that doesn't fit perfectly to your service. And if everybody does that, things will organically evolve. But anyway, whatever, some of the things that we did were basically top-down, which is not a perfect approach. I mean, it is okay when it is given and you have to comply with it. We just try to make those works that you have to do with the tools more digestible. But ultimately, the end user, the community, is the king. So it's better to what is important, especially when it comes to the design, to documentation, to you know the problems that people are facing with when using your services, is that they basically you understand something that, or you have some assumptions they don't, and you use different language even, or invent the language, and or use some, you know, legal jargon or technical jargon, which they don't care about or don't know about. So you shouldn't produce a solution, let's say, produce a solution which will seek the purpose, but do the opposite. And even when you do and think you have done the right thing, it's important to get back to the end user, see what the problems they are having, what they don't understand in, you know, in the documentation, which is growing and getting more detailed, expected to be more detailed every day, but also in the user interface, in the terminology. And for example, what we are having with those tools that we described today is we are still adjusting the language, trying to simplify it and trying to avoid wrong associations with, you know, for example, when you say compliance, it's a very hard word. And now we are moving towards assessment, things like that. Okay, I think, I don't know if I provided you something that you know, rings a bell or, but that's it, basically. There are just some hints.
You should understand that this effort doesn't really end with this project. You may expect from the EOSC Future project to provide something some materials that explain in greater detail the approach that should be taken by thematic service providers. There will be in the following months there will be something that you can use. What was our problem? Our problem was that we were resolving issues on the generic level, because at the moment when we started, now it's easy to look back and say, well, we could have done this or that. But at the moment when we began, we didn't really have the true insight into the landscape, and we were trying to resolve the crucial issues at the generic level. In order to provide good instructions for thematic services, you need a really serious input from the researchers creating those services. And we are not experts in this area. So keep track of EOSC Future activities, then you will probably find some more details in the following months. So Natalia.
I wanted to second what you just said at the end. We invite you all to check out these tools, to use the tools in your daily work. We believe they will be useful for you. And in all cases, you have the help desk and you have the material that also Melissa mentioned, with the instructions and the support. And you can always contact us, either with questions or if you need support at a specific part of all this process. But it's really important that you use this tool and you send us your feedback, that this question cannot be understood by researchers, or this is wrong the way you have formulated. All this is very important for us. We are willing to make any updates and changes even after the closing of the project, because we really believe these are useful community tools.
Just to add to this, although we set up the wiki pages, the video tutorials, interactive tutorials, extensive documentation, we tried to make things self-explaining and, you know, easy to use as you go, to the point that you enter some data, click next, and in the end you get something that looks like a trivial report. However, there is a hidden logic behind, you know, which hides some details and some decisions. So hopefully this is the way to do. So although, but if you need a backup, you can still use these additional resources. But anyway, if you come into this situation, perhaps it will trigger you. Why I had to consult those resources. So, for one hand, this is the something that if you could give us a feedback on such a situation, it would help us a lot to make the thing more accessible. And on the other hand, I think this is very, very crucial for any kind of service. People are simply growingly expecting that. And if you don't get it in 5 minutes, you leave and go somewhere else. And we have to live with that.
I really enjoyed the presentation of these tools. I never had played with them. So I think for the legal, for the first tool, the LCT, I think it's super important. As I told Eli, I think it can be somehow integrated into other tools like DMP services, because they are important for people when they are constructing the data management plans, is that they have a direct access to it. And the second tool is, I know that there is a lot of forms in the onboarding of EOSC on the services on the data. So I was wondering, how can the logic of this tool or this tool as is can be integrated on the onboarding, or do you plan it to be for the onboarding or for the pre-onboarding, like an assessment tool? So is it an assessment before I onboard my services and resources, or is it while I'm doing the process? And after that, the second question, the last question, is about sustainability. What happens when NIFOS ends?
I will try to reply the first question about Rolex. It was your question. What we offer is an assessment. If the service provider that is willing to upload its service to EOSC fulfills some of the basic requirements, but these are not the same with the information requested during the onboard. It's different. For example, we want to ensure that the service provider has a privacy policy and the terms of use in the appropriate page, that it covers all the GDPR aspects that he has to do before uploading and making the service available. So we give all the legal and ethics questions that he has to take into account before making the service available.
Just focusing on the legal and ethics.
Yes, this moment. I don't know if you want to add.
Okay, regarding sustainability, first, our main design decision was to make things modular and to select some set of use cases. So the tools, basically, in terms of what you need to do, plug in, not technically, but logically, one to next in terms Jota explained that in order to onboard, you have to have a policy and so on. And the only interface between them is eventually you have to publish that policy somewhere and provide URL at another place. So in that sense, the tools work relatively independently, and they have a clear purpose, which is although a part of the larger open science workflow, is at the same time extends to some other purposes as well. So it is not these tools together work as open science tool chain, but individually they work also in other scenarios. For example, for LCT. It will be probably presented at the forthcoming conference that is related to IPR governance, independently from open science. The same applies to Ripple, we have a technical solution which is extremely generic. You have textual templates, you have data descriptions of hierarchical data which are reflected in forms and the way that the templates are populated. And this is something that creates basically a generic policy tool for any purpose. And we see that, you know, this kind of regulatory, legal requirements are popping up everywhere related to privacy, to data linkage and everything. So we hope that all these tools we have produced will basically sustain themselves. For example, in case of Ripple, at University of Belgrade, we are having now just onboarded within NIFOS and EOSC more than 20 repositories. But we are actually managing about 30, 35, right? So as a service provider, the University of Belgrade Computer Center has a need to manage, you know, many instances of things. And therefore, it's even using these tools as standalone tools for the internal use is, you know, a case that is strong enough, not to mention EOS context and so on. So I think things will survive.
I'm saying these things because in open air we have, you know, some toolkits. They're not tools like that. We have toolkits for, let's say, checklists for policies of organizations and model policies. And what people are telling us are that these are, you know, one of the most used tools that we have. So it's like a checklist. I download a PDF and I do a checklist and I go on. So. Would it be the tools that you have provided generic enough in the way, you know, the databases and everything on the back are, so we could see a collaboration between NIFOS and OpenAI and do these things?
Before I was involved in the development of the latest version with Marina, and there was a question sent to Marina by Branko and myself when we started developing REPL about the possible integration. We didn't get really feedback, but actually, it is possible, and it would be quite simple to integrate this because the approach, actually, we use the approach used by OpenAIR and the approach used is Pasteur for open access. Actually, this project provided a very important input for our national policy, for the logic of our national policy. So we use the same logic when developing REPL. So Branko will add technical details.
Actually, it is not the technical thing that I want to say, but more like going back to thematic services usability by communities. By doing this, for example, we basically also, besides providing practical solutions, we formalized data content and structures and how the what is needed to describe a policy or compliance or licensing decision, and this information could be served, you know. There were attempts to formalize machine actionable or readable data regarding privacy policy should be. But this, which has been based on people's understanding and ability to fill in the forms and what is already present in the existing documents of this kind, is again bottom-up development, which drafted the structure, specifications, machine-readable, hierarchical documents that could be a base for standardization. So this is another possible output. And in the same sense, these things should be should be put together and integrated between the tools. So I'm not saying that we should, you know, these things should grow, these tools should grow and be embedded directly or be endorsed, you know, as the parts of one big whole solution that resolves all the problems, but they basically, the content that they developed should become a subject of interfaces, and whether these tools remain and live on or not, what matters is what they specify and how they, you know, organize thoughts and the language and the data content, which definitely should survive and be the subject of integrations of various tools, even if so, if these tools die off for some reasons, they, you know, shape will remain like those gypsum figures in Pompeii.
I hope this will be not our future. Okay, so I wanted to say a few things about your question, your previous question about sustainability. Okay, let me start by saying that we are very proud about the tools that we have produced, because this is really, this is really an IFOS Europe work. So none of these three tools existed before we started working on them. So it's something we really need to highlight, and we're really proud of it. So, of course, we would like that our outcomes are sustained. That's why also the invitation to the research community and to the thematic or to the generic research community, please use the tools. Let us know what you need. Let us know what you would like to change. And for LCT, for example, we have some ideas on how to make it sustainable that are linked with further development. For example, adding also custom licenses, giving the possibility of making clearance of custom licensing, this will make a huge difference. So all these three tools can be used as standalone tools as we have presented them here. And I think it makes sense that they are available as standalone tools. The question we have to answer, however, is how does it make sense to make the tools available? If we have them as standalone tools, or if we make them, try to find the place and the processes where researchers meet and try to embed them in processes researchers already run. So, for example, for the LCT, we already discussed if somebody wants to use, onboard a resource through our NIFOS catalog. So the place where we make the check if the resource is okay to be uploaded, or if there are any legal problems with it, any IP problem, licensing problems related to this, this should be made through LCT. So this part of the onboarding process should go through LCT. This is one example how tools can be embedded in other processes or in other tools, so that also they are sustained and their use is increased. Same also with OpenAIR. If OpenAIR it is the place where many European researchers meet and try to find resources. So this is for me also a natural place to have this, to make these tools available also through this channel.
And my final thoughts: the problem is that, you know, we have to constrain ourselves with what we do. For example, LCT is not a perfect tool for defining a license for a software, commercial, open source, or whatever. It provides some generic functionality, but if you move towards software as such, there are, and that community, then you have a different tools that already exist there. They are typically called software composition analysis tools. and then they have different focuses and even existing standards and interfaces on exchange, so-called SPDX files, for example. However, there is always a niche where you provide some kind of generic functionality and see what people are looking for and try to cover that. But again, in the case that you need to, you know, find another niche and another community and expectations, you can shift there while maintaining the existing functionality for your previous community. So we hope that we will, you know, be able to balance this and adapt as things progress.
Do you have additional questions from the audience? Because if not, I would like to raise an issue that is related to sustainability as well. And this issue will be discussed more during the workshop on open source. So one important moment in achieving sustainability is having the IT people who will be developing these tools. And this is an issue because open source software is not a fancy topic for young IT people. And we need to develop and to actually advertise a special type of IT profiles working with our tools, developing open source tools. So I wouldn't expand more on this issue because this will be discussed more during the workshop and I believe by the end of the project. But also what Eleni mentioned, and I know, for example, that we didn't have the legal expert support in our tool because Branko is an expert on privacy issues and we know about repositories quite a lot. But Eleni mentioned that they had the support from a legal expert and probably a legal expert was involved in license clearance. This is very important. We also lack legal experts who know enough about open science. And this is also, and who know how to communicate with open science related communities. Yeah, I know that you have only one. So this is an issue that should be raised. How to encourage lawyers. No, but how to encourage lawyers, young lawyers, students, how to advertise a new profile of legal experts who would be involved with open science. So I would like to hear a whole round of opinions.
So this is, indeed, we started with a person who is a senior. It's Prodromos, I can say his name. Prodromos Tsiavos. Don't search and don't contact him. So, and we started with him, and he has really the profile you mentioned. He combines open science knowledge, he's a legal expert, he knows about IPR, he knows about software development, so he has a whole package, but it's only one person, okay? And he's very busy. One of the things we did in this project is we started a collaboration with a junior legal expert and we introduced her to the open science principles. It was a crash course, so she had to go through a lot of information, but having the legal knowledge, what we pushed for is to get her to bring her closer to the open science principles and all these things that this open science movement is working on. And this was successful, but it was a training during the project. So we used it and she helped us a lot,
yes, if I may add, she had already IPR and personal data knowledge. She had a master on this, but she didn't know anything for open science, and from my knowledge, I have many, let's say, friends or relatives that have studied law, but they are doing masters in IPR and trademarks, and there are a lot of master programs in this field. So we need to see how we can combine this with the open science and open data.
Okay, I won't say anything more than this. Basically, so we are coming back to our previous eat your own dog food mantra. On applying our tools on our tools, the same is, you know, as we build our work builds us, including the expertise that is developing with the people among the people who are get involved, but also as I in parallel mentioned this. Structuring and packaging of information and requirements and the data, machine readable data, the same applies to processes. For example, you know, with the example of Rolect, you can now say, okay, how the compliance with the rules of participation should be assessed. When you have one example, this helps structuring, you know, the mechanisms that will make it happen. So that's basically it. You don't build only one thing, a technical solution. You build capabilities and build the processes at the same time.
So this is a question for me.
No.
Okay, food for thought. Okay.
So I believe that this is lunch time. The lunch is about to start. It says 1:35, yes? So we are just right on time. I would like to thank you all, and perhaps we should consider preparing a project proposal about developing job profiles, not only for data stewards, but also for all other professions involved in open science. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, but this is not the only. We need IT people. We need many, many, many other profiles.